Oh, my friend, is your marriage like a wilderness? Is it dead? Is it barren? Is it overwhelming? Do you feel just so isolated? Do you feel like you're just going to succumb to the heat of that dry, dry desert? And at night, when you should be warm and secure in the arms of the one that you love, are you just laying there shaking and trembling? Because not only are you in the wilderness, but you're in the wilderness with a fool. We'll talk about it today. About being in a wilderness and being in the wilderness with a fool that you're married to, I want you to, or somebody that's playing the fool, I want you to remember that our series is about God's deliverance in the wilderness. And so as we open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25, what I want you to remember is the setting of this chapter. Saul has returned home. He's not pursuing David right now. David and his men are in the wilderness of Paran, but they have been protecting Nabal's shepherds and watching over them and seeing that no harm came to them. As a result, it's a festive day. It's a festive day because it's time to shear the sheep. Nabal, who was a very rich man, has 3,000 sheep and he has 1,000 goats. And so David goes to Nabal through 10 of his men and says to Nabal, "We have protected your shepherds. Ask your shepherds and you'll know that we protected them. And since this is such a festive day, what do you have for us? What would you share with us on this festive day?" Well, you remember that God describes Nabal to us in verse 3. And let me go back to that description. In verse 3, it says, "Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite." Now, when I say Abigail, I want you to know that I know how to say Abigail because I have a precious granddaughter by the name of Abigail. And so I know how to say it, but this is the way that they would say it in Israel. Many times I go to Israel and I will say like Ezekiel and they just kind of screw up their faces and look at me in this puzzled way. And then I realize that they say Ezekiel like Yehezkel. So it's different pronunciation of the same spelling. So I know what I'm doing. I'm not out to lunch on that one. All right, now, what happens as we go through this story, Nabal turns around and he looks at David's men, and this is what he says. "Who is David? Who's the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are breaking away from their master." You tell me they've been protecting him. Don't give me that. "There are many, many men that have broken away from their master. I don't know who David is, and I don't know who Jesse is." And then he says, "Shall I take my bread and my water," catch the mice, "and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give them to men whose origin I do not know?" Well, I mean, when David got the message, I mean, he was up to here. He was red hot, as you know. He put his sword on his side. He got 400 of his men. He said, "Gird up your swords." He left 200 back with the baggage, and he takes off. And he is headed for Nabal, and I mean, he is up to no good. I mean, David is inflamed. And it says, "But one of the young men told Abigail," and I'm in verse 14 of 1 Samuel 25, "Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the fields.'" In other words, they protected us just like they said. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the time that we were with them tending our sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you should do. For evil is plotted against our master and against all of his household. And he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. Well, now, even his servants know what he's like. He's a worthless man. A fool is a man that you cannot reason with. A fool is a man that you cannot placate. A fool is a man who stays away from understanding. A fool is a man who will, you can't do anything with them to bring them around. They are stubborn and they are steadfast. And he says, our master's a worthless man, but what's going to happen? Because evil is going to come against us. I don't know how he knew this, except that I know that he probably saw the look in David's men's faces as they were told this by Nabal. Because remember, they were warriors. And remember, they were there. And remember, they had protected these men. It says, then Abigail hurried, and she took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on the donkey. You know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of a Proverbs 21:31 woman. Because a Proverbs 31 woman is a woman that looks well to the needs of her household. And so here is a woman, I mean, how all of a sudden can you have this many loaves of bread? I mean, 200 loaves of bread and all this other food that she has prepared for her household? She's a good woman. She's an intelligent woman. Remember what we saw in verse 3, because God wants us to know this. This is in parentheses. And the woman was intelligent. And intelligent means, as we saw, of good understanding. She was not only intelligent, but she was beautiful. I mean, that's kind of a nice combination, isn't it? And yet she's married to a fool. And she's wandering in this wilderness, really, with a fool. So she took all of this. And verse 19, and she said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Now, listen, she's a wise woman. She's an intelligent woman. So she's going out and she's going to try to placate David. She's going to try to stop evil and try to stop disaster. But she's not going to tell her husband because she knows what she's married to. She understands this man. And if you're married to a fool of a woman or a fool of a man, then what you need is you need to have a good grasp of that person that is playing the fool, that person who says there is no God, and that person who lives as if there is no God except themselves. And you can get that description of that fool by reading through Proverbs so that you know and so that you understand. Jan Silvius is a very good friend of mine, and she has some wonderful, wonderful teaching CDs on foolproofing your life, and she has a book on it, and it's excellent, and it's helped so many, many people. You may want to get it. Now, let's go on. Verse 20, and it came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that, behold, David and his men were coming up toward her. So she met them. She's coming down from the mountain to find David. David's coming up the mountain to get a hold of Nabal and to take care of this man and those that are in his household. And it says in verse 21, now David said, surely in vain. Now, David's not saying this to Abigail. He hasn't met her yet. But this is what he's saying as he's riding along, as he's going up that mountain to get these men, as he's got his sword girded on his loins. And it says, now David had said, surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he returned me evil for good. Now, you want to mark evil again. You want to mark it in verse 17. You want to mark it in verse 21. And you say, what do you mean by marking it? And you want to mark it in verse 3. What I mean by marking it is the purpose of this program is not just for you to sit here and listen to me. The purpose of this program is for you to learn the Word of God. The purpose of this program is for you to grow spiritually, to grow in knowledge and in wisdom and in understanding. The purpose of this program is to give you knowledge, because without knowledge, God's people are ruined. God's people perish, according to Hosea chapter 6. And we don't want you to perish. We don't want your life to be messed up. We don't want you to be married and divorced all these times. We don't want your family to be fragmented. We want you to have a good, solid family. We want you to have a good, solid marriage. We want you to have a good life. And God wants you to have a good life. It won't be without suffering, but it'll be good and it'll be all right, because God will be there. So what is this program all about? It's all about going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, because what I have found is a lot of people don't know the Word of God themselves. All they know is what they're hearing on TV or what they're hearing in church. And what I hear and what the statistics say is people are learning more from television and radio, Christian television and radio, than they're getting from their church. Now, you may be in an excellent church, but it's saying that the greater majority of people are getting their Bible knowledge from the media. If you're getting your Bible knowledge from the media, many times there are contradicting teachings. How are you going to know what's right? How are you going to know what's wrong? How are you going to be able to measure it? That's why Precept Ministries has a plumb line as a symbol of who we are. So what do I want you to do? I want you to go to preceptsforlife.com. preceptsforlife.com, and there we will tell you about study tools that will help you to study your Bible. We'll tell you about the best study Bible on the market, the inductive study Bible that shows you how to take apart the Bible book by book, and there you can download our study guides that go with each of these series. So this is what you want to do. All right, now, that's why we tell you to mark key repeated words, and evil is one of the key repeated words. So David said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he has returned me evil," mark it, "for good. May God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave as much as any one male that belonged to him." I mean, David is hot, and he has just sworn before God, "If I leave one male alive that belongs to this man, may God do to me what I'm going to do to them if I don't do it." I mean, he is furious. What's going to happen? We'll see right after the break. Welcome back, faithful student. I just love teaching you, and I just thank you so much, and I thank you for your letters, and I thank you for your emails, and I thank you for your support, because, you know, without your support, I mean, television and radio, the media are very, very, very expensive, even on Christian stations. And so, you know, we can't do it without your help because we're trying to reach the whole world. And when you support us, then you're enabling us to teach people all over the world in 121 countries in 66 languages how to study the Bible for themselves. And you're putting Bible studies in their hands. And they're always begging me, Kay, we need more, we need more, we need more. So thank you for helping us do what we're doing and helping us reach the nations with the Word. So many people tell me, this is my Bible school. And it is your Bible school. Well, let's go back to the Bible school, all right? And let's go to verse 23. Now, when Abigail saw David, she hurried and she dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face. Now, remember, this is an intelligent woman. This is a woman of good understanding. So she sees David. She dismounts from her donkey. She fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. What has she just said? She has just said, I am honoring you. She has just brought herself low in that place of not haughtiness, but wisdom's humility. Wisdom's humility. This is a woman that's living in a wilderness kind of marriage, married to a fool, and yet she's a very intelligent, very wise woman. Watch her and listen to her. There is much to learn. And she fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be the blame. On me alone, my Lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. I want you to put the blame on me for what just happened, but I want to ask you to listen to me. I want to ask you to let me talk to you. You know, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. And this is one of the ways that you spot a fool. You can't talk to a fool. You can't reason with a fool. A fool doesn't act rationally. A fool acts irrationally. A fool thinks it's everybody else's fault and he's the only one that's right and he's the one that's suffering and the whole world is to revolve around him. Just as Nabal was my bread, my meat, my drink, my servants, you know, that's a fool. All right. And remember, and I think I forgot to tell you this, that Nabal means fool. You're going to find it in just a minute. And she says, please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. For as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. I want you to know that when you got to our household, you didn't get to me. I never saw any of those young men, but you got to my husband. And honestly, my husband is a worthless man. And honestly, he has lived up to his name, Nabal, which means fool, and he is in his folly. A fool has his folly, a fool's folly. You'll see it. And she says, but I am your maidservant. He's a fool and he's a worthless man, but I'm your maidservant. Now, is she demeaning him? No. She knows that she's dealing with David and David has to understand what he's dealing with. And so it's not like I'm just putting him down and I'm gossiping about him. It's saying, David, I understand what you just dealt with. And I want you to understand what you dealt with. But, you know, it's my husband and I am married to him. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, watch this woman of good understanding. Since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek evil against you be, against my Lord, be as Nabal. Do you realize what she just said? It's a mouthful and it is so important. He says, first thing she says is the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood. I got here just in time. I know what's in your heart. I see the swords. I see the glint in the men's eyes. I see the tenseness of your countenance. I see the terseness of it. I see the anger flaming, the indignation. I understand. And I understand because I know what you're dealing with. I live with him. I know what you're dealing with, but I want you to know that I got here in time. God has stopped you from shedding blood. And not only that, I want you to know that your enemies, and those who seek evil against you, may they be as Nabal. May they be fools. May they be in their folly. Now, let this gift, which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Do you see her submission? She's not irritable. She's not demeaning. She's just factual. But she's also very, very wise, because she is saying, I'm your maidservant. I'm your maidservant. I'm your maidservant. And what my husband didn't do, I'm willing to do. I want to take care of your men just as you requested. And then she says, please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. It's my fault. I'm to blame. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because the Lord, and that's you, David, is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days. What is this wise woman doing? She's calming down this man that is chafing at the bit. She is calming down this man, and she is calling him to live up to who he is. Because all of a sudden, in his anger, he has forgotten. I mean, he is being controlled by anger. And so here she is as a calming influence. That's a wise woman. That's a woman of good understanding. And if you're wandering in the wilderness and you're wandering beside a man or beside a woman that is playing the fool, yelling and screaming is not going to do it. You're just coming down to their level. Threatening and all of that is not going to do it. You live life on a higher plane. You live the way God wants you to live. You be God's woman. You be God's man, and let God take care of the fool. And this is what she said. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. Do you realize what she's saying to him? She's giving him a blessing. She is telling him what God is going to do as he lives according to who he really is. Now listen to this in verse 30. And when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and appoints you ruler over Israel. Do you think that David just all of a sudden went? Because for the third time, he has heard. He's heard it from Jonathan. He has heard it from Saul. Well, first he heard it from Samuel. Then he's heard it from Jonathan. He's heard it from Saul. And now he's hearing it from Abigail. She says, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. She's calling him. She's stopping him for regretting what he's about to do. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment. And blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Oh, beloved, if you're walking in the wilderness with a fool, just remember, you don't have to play the fool. Be a woman, be a man of good understanding. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. and we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Isn't this a great story, beloved? And you know what? It's not fiction. It's truth. It really, really happened. And God preserved this for you and for me. Let's take our precept for life today from what happens to David. Because I don't want to lose sight of David. Here, David has had it. David's in the wilderness. And David has just asked this man, Nabal, to supply the needs of his men. And he's not asking this unjustly because they're to be given to hospitality and because he has protected them and he has cared for them. And now, here he is in the wilderness. Here he is hot. Here he is angry. Here he is absolutely furious. He has nothing for his men, nothing for his labor. And now he's going to get this man, and this woman of good understanding is sent by God. Listen to me carefully. If you're married to a foolish person or a person that is playing the fool or a person that is the fool, I want you to know that even in the midst of that, God has a purpose for you, and God will use you in others' lives as a result of this. He will make you more compassionate. He will make you more understanding. He will make you better at handling adverse relationships. And this is what he does through Abigail. What he does is he takes this man whose circumstances have not changed, this man who was still living in the wilderness, she's still living in a wilderness marriage, and he uses both of those people. And you're going to see how in the next lesson, how he uses and blesses Abigail as a result of this encounter. But David is still in the wilderness. And what does God say to him? God says to him for a third time, you will be king. You're in the wilderness. Nothing has changed. You're still wandering around. You're still living in strongholds. You're still, in a sense, dependent upon others for your food, and you're still fighting battles. But I want you to know I'm with you in the wilderness, and I'm with you even when you're fed up to here. And I will, because I know your heart, I will use others to give you advice and to give you promises and to encourage you in the wilderness. And when the Lord does for my Lord according to all the good he has spoken to you concerning you and appoints you ruler over Israel. Did you notice the when? Remember, God's with us in the wilderness, and there is a when we will be delivered.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.